You're listening to the Ruhi Sleep, Sleep in Society podcast, recorded in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. Welcome back to another episode of the Ruhi Sleep, Sleep in Society podcast. This week, Ruhi is joined by two very special guests. You might remember earlier in the days of this podcast, we invited Katie Weeks, a nurse from KGH Hospital, to talk about her experiences in and around her sleep schedule with regards to shift work. The conversation continues today as Ruhi brings two special guests to talk about their experiences. Take it away, Ruhi.
Thank you, Mike. I'm so delighted to have Katie Weeks back on Sleep in Society podcast. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you.
And we have Lisa with us as well. Welcome, Lisa.
My good old co-worker.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I would like you to reintroduce, Katie, if you could reintroduce yourself to our audience, and yes, then we'll go to Lisa.
Oh, thank you for having me back again. This is fun.
Delighted.
Love to have these conversations. So I'm a nurse at one of the local hospitals, work in the ICU as a registered nurse. I've been doing shift work for about 9 years now. And happy to be discussing all the conversations regarding our lack of sleep and things like that.
And lack of rhythms.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And lack of research.
Lack of research. Real life interventions.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think there's enough data saying how awesome shift work is for your well-being.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not so awesome it is for your well-being. Lisa, please.
So my name is Lisa, and I'm also a registered nurse in the local hospital in the ICU. But I also work in one of the local penitentiaries for the federal government. So shift work is within both jobs. However, at my other job at the penitentiary, we do not do night shifts, which is nice. And I also don't really do any more night shifts in the hospital at all. I used to only do night shifts, and then a few things have changed over time. So I've been doing the shift work for about 6 years, and I definitely feel like it's played a toll on my body. And I also live with a chronic illness, so that doesn't help with the shift work and living with that as well. So I've kind of steered clear of the nights as much as I could.
Wow, that's amazing. So right now you are mainly on days.
Yes. Go ahead.
And how long were you on nights?
Well, back in the day, like when I first started nursing, I used to work night shifts all the time, like sometimes 3-4 in a row. And then over the years, when I moved into a full-time position too, I kind of did a mix of both. But the 2-day, 2-night schedule was kind of not for me. So I did one that was traditional. So you do 2 weeks of days and 2 weeks of nights. And it's about 2 on, 2 off, 3 on, 2 off, 2 on, 3 off. And then you switch. So you do that for 2 weeks of days, and then you switch to nights. And it's quite taxing on the body when you're on the 2 weeks and nights, let alone.
So this is a continental shift.
Yes, correct. So yeah. Katie and me do opposite schedules, but we do work together. And then I kind of found a buddy that really only enjoyed the nights. So I really was enjoying the days, and I was just feeling a lot better on them. So she did all the nights and I did all the days, which is great. But sometimes even the days is taxing too, because it's still shift work. You're still getting up early. You're there for 12 hours, and 12 hours is a long shift.
It is a long shift. And, in our episode with you, Katie, we had talked about the chronotype.
Correct.
As well, like whether people are morning type or evening type, in between, or late evening type. So shift work, like the definition requires, like we need to redefine it, because people who are morning people, it's an impossible task for them to work evenings. And meanwhile, people who are like afternoon or late evening types, it's impossible. It's a very difficult thing for them to have morning jobs.
Absolutely.
And so you guys are working together.
Yes.
At KGH.
Correct.
In the ICU.
Correct.
And in terms of, I wanted to have this conversation in terms of Katie. How are you doing? You have like a lot on your plate. You're part of the race team, which we didn't talk about, like
right. Yes.
as well as like ICU, and you are doing you're not doing continental.
Correct. I'm doing the original schedule of 2 days, two nights with five shifts off in between rotations. So I'm one of the newer schedules, as they call it, versus Lisa working on the older schedule, continental mm-hmm. schedule. I mentioned in the previous episode when I was a student, I had to do a 6 month placement, doing a continental schedule mm-hmm. in an ICU in another city. While trying to function as a student with full-time workload, I had to work a regular day job in order to pay for university. I can assure you I have no idea how I actually did it, but I did feel like a zombie. I felt like I lived at the hospital. And I realized very quickly that that was not the schedule I wanted to continue my whole life with. And perhaps one day, when I have children, guaranteeing every second weekend off might be something that becomes appealing. There'll be different things that are appealing to that schedule. But right now, where it's just me, myself, and I, mm-hmm. the 2 day, two night with five off seems to be working the best to try and turn myself around, get some downtime, recoup, and then go back in.
Are you able to do that?
To require, like, to get
to
some...
get your downtime, like within your 5 days off?
Just...
because you have another job as well. Do you, like, besides the race team, like, are you doing?
Nope, okay. Nothing right now. Just working on the race team. So what I have done with my manager over the last 6 months, we do every, I think it's a biannual review, I guess is the best way of discussing it, where we actually end up reviewing all of our goals, what we would like to do over the next couple of years. And for me, I wanted to be challenged more in my working environment. So we've mm-hmm. actually put me onto working more shifts on the race team, which is an emergency response team within the hospital. So my stress levels have changed a little bit. Coincidentally, in my own personal life, planning the wedding that we had discussed on the last episode.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very excited.
So I'm under 120 days until I get married. So the stress level is just climbing with the last minute planning. So trying to manage shift work, some sort of sense of normalcy and controlling the stress is a bit challenging right now.
How do you do that? How? What are your methods of coping?
Exercising, for me,
please.
Personally. Yeah. My only sense of calming my mind is to go and exercise at the gym. I unfortunately don't have the energy or the strength or the mentality yet to go after a 12-hour shift to the gym.
Which is not a good idea to begin with.
Burnout every last self.
Exercising before bed is not a recommended thing.
Exactly.
And it's 3 hours prior to bed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So try and keep my head down, head focused in the four shifts that I have to work. And then on my 5 days off, I'm at the gym every single day for 2 to 3 hours.
During when you're working, mm-hmm. You're not training.
Correct.
But you're training only on the
five days
that you have off.
Correct.
Lisa, what is your ways of coping with?
So I usually play sports in the evening. So not working the night shifts is nice because I can maybe usually get to my sports, depending. So I was playing soccer once a week as well as some other recreational sports. However, I did just have a knee surgery, so that's kind of held me back a little bit. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I used to, when I did work night shifts, I did go to the gym before the night shift, which was hard. But it's hard.
Before going to the night shift.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And because with my schedule, like, it's hard to find time to go. So because, like Katie, I will not go after a 12-hour shift to the gym.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
So
my other job is only 8 hours, so it's 7 to 3. So on those days that I work at my other job, which are my days off usually, I do go after that. And usually I go to like a class there, so I know I get myself there. But other than that, I have a personal trainer too that kind of works around my schedule. And it's private, so I can go when he's available and I'm available. But I do find with the shift work, it is hard to make a lot of classes when you are working it, because a lot of the classes start either before a shift mm-hmm. or after. So like if someone wants to go to a CrossFit gym mm-hmm. or to like a spin class, like the times are mainly catered to people that work Monday to Friday,
eight to four, nine to five
kind of thing.
And even like I think with 12 hours, if we think about like it's not actually 12 hours because you have prep time mm-hmm. before getting, and then actually travel time to your mm-hmm. work, and all, we don't take that actually into account. And then the fact that you need to sleep and then you need to prepare your meal, like timing wise, like if we're looking, if we start parsing that out, there isn't that much time left for personal well-being.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's the reason for starting what I did in terms of physical training, was that my schedule was so strange. It was like 3 nights on, 2 off, 2 days back to 3 nights, 3 days off, back to 1 day. Like it was all over the, there was no rhythm.
Yeah.
And for me to just find a window of time to train was actually during my night shift. So the time, that break that you get, was my time to just physically exercise. And then, you know, we devoted an entire series to this in the past, like how that came to be. And then when you start getting into the scientific data and you're realizing, oh, wait, like there needs to be specific times that you should be training, because if you're training at the wrong time, that's actually detrimental to your health and well-being. And it's such a difficult thing to be able to find the time. And then when we are that fatigued, that level of fatigue that comes with shift work, that, you know, it's such, imagine like what it takes for us to be able to motivate ourselves to get out. And that's like being just self-care. You add children to that category and you add partnerships and community work, then it's just, you're setting yourself
disappears.
Up. Your time disappears. Like you're setting yourself up to just completely fail.
I know. I know a few years ago, probably about 4 years ago, I was in a cycle where I was going to the gym after my 12-hour day shifts. I would go after my first day shift, after my second day shift, and I would go the morning of my first night shift. And my only day of rest would be my second night shift, because I'd sleep from the moment I got home until the moment I had to go back to work. And then I would train again on my 5 days. And that was taxing on my mental health. It took a lot to get myself to go to the gym. And then once I was there, it was okay. Once you're in the gym, it was okay, but you never have the strength that you actually want to put into a dedicated session. If you're truly strength training, or you're trying to work through a cube method program where you're staggering your reps and whatnot based on percentages, you don't have the strength to do a one rep max or a three rep max workout, because you've burnt yourself out on the previous 12 hours of working on your feet. And as Lisa can attest, our particular ICU, we run all day long.
Sitting down doesn't happen.
So we probably put a good 12 to 15,000 steps on our feet, and that would not include us traveling off the floor for tests with patients and whatnot, where we're traveling all the way across to the other side of the building sometimes. So you can imagine your feet are absolutely exhausted after a 12-hour shift, and your mind is fatigued from who knows what you've seen in your shift, and you're trying to separate when you're done your shift. And then you say, okay, we've got to go to the gym. We have to make this
now
happen.
Now intentional training begins.
Yes, now I got to take care of myself. And you're thinking, all I want to do is go home and sit on the couch, watch some TV that's mind-numbing, and have a nice conversation with your partner, for example, or your friend before going to bed 40 minutes later. Like it's mind-blowing. So that didn't last very long, that workout routine. I probably only lasted about 2 years of doing that. And now I don't work out after my day shift. So I do work out before my first night shift and then on my five off. So I work out about 6 days out of, how would that work? 12 out of 14 days, something like that, or 16-day rotation. So I get most days in, but I don't push myself after a 12-hour day shift.
We had this conversation, I think it was episode 17, where we're talking about mental, the burnout, the mental and the physical burnout. And that's mental and physical burnout after physically training, because at one point I was training about 2 to 3 hours a day. And every, like on nights, I was on three nights, I would be doing the 45-minute high-intensity training on nights. And then on days off, I would be doing at least 2 to 3 hours of actual physical training. And that was going at it for over, that was about 2.5 years of doing that. And then thinking that these systems will hold you in place. This is like you are training hard, you're doing like, you're not even just like, you're at it, like mm-hmm. you're full-time athlete, you're working at it. And this is supposed to lift you up, like physically, and mm-hmm. like all the research is pointing that way, you know.
Supposed to make you feel better.
Make you feel better, that physical training, and it builds resilience. But it's actually just chipping away because we don't, you know, we're just looking at, when you're actually looking at these studies that are coming out, they're just looking at this particular thing. They're not looking at the real life variables that are coming at us and that we have to navigate through. Mm-hmm. So that I remember that how that burnout felt and how totally collapsing of systems it was. Mm-hmm. And so now then I had to modify everything in terms of physical training, like when I did high intensity, when I did moderate intensity. And since I am way older than you guys, my physical things are completely changing. And now I have to completely remodify everything that I've been doing for about 8.5 years to accommodate the physical changes that are coming with and hormonal changes that are coming.
I was gonna say, with hormones and everything.
Aging. Yeah, and there are no guidelines. I mean, there are these rough guidelines, but really each human is so different. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, we work through our own things is so different than
absolutely
and where we are in our life.
Even we think with all of our coworkers, how everybody deals with stress or how they, what they do with their downtime or their days off. Every single one of us at work, even all amongst our friends, we're all very different in what we do to recoup from our set of shifts on our days off. Everybody's very different. Some people exercise, some people don't, some people walk with dogs, different, all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. And so even as a population, everybody doing the exact same job, same role, same environment, we're all very different in how we recover.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. So trying to find research on what you're supposed to do to make yourself feel better and how you can go about living your life in perhaps a more positive manner, especially with shift work having such negative effects on the body. There's not much out there for you. You're
no.
really by yourself and you really have to figure it out on your own, which is challenging. It would be nice to come up with something, but at least we're able to have conversations like this podcast series, for example, mm-hmm. is beautiful in that we're having people come together to talk about their experiences with shift work and to let people know that you're not the only one out there that's struggling with this.
It's
a challenge.
It is. It's extremely challenging because if we think about it, sleep is preventive medicine. Mm-hmm. It's at the basis of all things good. And that's one variable as shift workers we have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
not only the rhythms themselves are altered and skewed, we're completely arrhythmic, but the impact of sleep deprivation that we face as shift workers, like how poor our daytime sleep is. And this is talking from a person who has the bedroom soundproofed. It's like it's completely dark. It's like a cave. My bedroom is like a cave. My house is soundproof because over the years, having little children,
yeah,
wanting them to have the freedom to be able to run while I sleep, I needed to completely modify our entire house mm-hmm. based upon that. And even with that, our sleep is still reduced during daytime. Mm-hmm. And we are, so sleep deprivation, which we are in. And then during night, when we are at the hospital, and I was thinking they just changed the light bulbs in our lab.
Oh, no.
We did that on our floor, too.
Yeah.
That's brutal. Like,
it's so bright
that it's actually, I feel like it's assaulting my senses when I walk in.
You feel like you're in an interrogation room.
Yes, because I walked in the other day and they came in, they're like, oh, they're new light bulbs. And I'm like, oh my God.
And,
like,
they said that the light bulbs are supposed to help with reducing headaches and migraines and whatnot.
No.
I don't know how I feel about them.
I had to actually either have to turn those off as soon as the patient, and even patients were saying, they're like, whoa,
they're very bright
because it's a sleep lab.
Yeah.
Imagine like putting them in a dark room and then they have to get up to use the washroom and they come to these like
blinding white lights.
And so actually we had a tendency to turn the lights down or off and other lights on because that, and all of those little things mm-hmm. that have such huge impact on our overall well-being. It's mm-hmm. it's incredible that we're not, you know, that we're not actually having these conversations about this, except right now, actually.
Well, that's kind of why I stopped working nights, is because I couldn't sleep during the day, and it's the next day, too. So sometimes I can sleep if I take a sleeping aid, which is not always the greatest thing. Mm-hmm. But I can't fall asleep before the shift and when I get home as well. So then I'd be sleep deprived. And also when you do wake up and you have to work, go in for another night and you haven't had that sleep, that can make for a really long bad shift as well.
Mm-hmm. So you are, but right now, what are your rhythms
right now?
Like?
I've just been working day shifts, but there's sometimes where I'll throw in a night shift or I'll do one. Sometimes when we pick up overtime, it might just be night shifts, and we still want to do that, yeah. even though you just kind of power through it. But I think too, like I used to not nap on the night shifts. Now that I have that nap hour, I just couldn't fall asleep when I'd be at some nights I don't, though. Mm-hmm. That kind of gets me through the rest of the night. But it's the sleeping that before the shift and sleeping after. Like, there was days, and I used to be able to do it before, like, I would go do a whole day of errands, go in for the night shift, wake up at noon the next day, and then I'd go play soccer or I'd go to the gym. But now, exactly what you're saying, like, because I'm a bit older, like, I can't imagine not sleeping later after the shift mm-hmm. and going and working out. Like, you just don't have the motivation or the energy to.
Yeah.
Plus, when you wake up, like, you need to, like, you haven't eaten probably for hours, so you want to eat to get that energy back as well. So it's just, and it also, I find that night shifts, they take 2 days out of you, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's way longer.
Exactly.
Yeah, it takes such a long time to yeah. recover from just like a singular night shift.
Exactly.
May I ask how old you are? We've already discussed it.
I'm turning 30 in next month, actually.
And I'm turning 29.
Okay. And I'm 47. So it's, oh, wow. This is very, this is a good mix of ages.
Yeah, yeah,
this
absolutely.
This is excellent. So in terms of what time is your soccer or what time
well,
is your physical?
Well, right now I'm not playing right now, but mm-hmm. whenever I was playing sports, usually 3 times a week, I'd go from my day shift to the sporting if I could make it. So there's a bunch of great leagues here, but I played varsity soccer in college. So I was used to playing soccer every single day. And then when I was done university, I went into a job, a shift work job. And I'm like, I'll try and make it as much as I can. But usually 8 p.m. is when I'd go. So I would go a whole day of working. And this was even last year I was doing this. And then I'd rush to my sports. And in the summer, it's different. Mm-hmm. In the winter, I feel like you just want to get home.
Yeah. And well, you're getting up yeah. when it's dark. You're going home when yeah. it's dark.
And in the summer, like it's nice too because we play outright.
And Nixon Field.
Yeah, yeah, we play right here, so you can just walk out of the hospital and you're mm-hmm. at soccer. But in terms of other things too, like I found like I started working out more on the weekends, which I never did before mm-hmm. because that's the only time that I could go. And like I said, it's those class times that you want to make. And you can go and do your own thing at any time. But like Katie is saying, is it's really hard to go after a day shift. Mm-hmm. And depending on your commute, too, like I live downtown. So what I also like to do now is I walk to work and I walk home. So I know I actually got at least some exercise in. Mm-hmm. But again, in the winter, it's cold and it's dark out. So you don't want to. But in the summer, I mean, it's not as bad. But also, when you're going in for a night shift, like some days in the summer, you want to get out and do things. It's nice out. It's warm. Mm-hmm. Kingston's by the water. It's nice out. So you might not necessarily sleep before you go in for a night shift. Mm-hmm. And then you don't want to sleep the next day if it's a nice summer day outside either.
Because we have such limited window of yeah. like nice well, weather.
When it's like Murphy's Law where you're 5 days off, yeah. guaranteed to be cloudy, windy, stormy.
Rainy.
Yeah, all the wrong weather. So.
And you don't want to miss out on things either. Like our floor and our group of friends is pretty social, so we all have to work around. That's another thing, is working around shift workers' schedules is a nightmare.
It's like
impossible.
Oh, it is,
but we always make it work somehow.
Yeah, well, you're young.
Yeah.
And then do you have
No kids.
And no.
So, that'll be a new curveball.
Yeah. Exactly.
The next 5 years.
Yeah. Because then the entirety of it's like dedicated to this whole another person. And then you have to navigate through those waters as well.
Yeah.
But like in terms of you're saying walking, I live downtown as well. And I deliberately gave up driving.
Yeah.
Like I gave my license. I gave up driving because I was like, nope. I'm walking everywhere. And even when we are at KGH, mm-hmm. on climbing stairs. We have so many stairs. And yes. It's like a rule. Like mm-hmm. I've lived. And I was saying to Mike, because I started the physical training when I started was using the stairs. Mm-hmm. That was the first, that was one thing I had. And we calculated that I've climbed over 350,000 stairs over the past 8 years in terms of physical training.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, but those little tiny things like being able to walk to work and being able to take the stairs, like adding, but again, that becomes like the individual's responsibility. It's not like you mm-hmm. have, you're being supported in any which way in terms of the infrastructure.
It's all for personal.
People used to go on their breaks, but again, before I used to go fine without the nap break and the night shift. And now I need that. I know I look forward to that 1 hour because I know that it's a kind of a recharge.
Yeah.
Whereas some people will go outside and go for walks. And mm-hmm. I mean, not right now when it's winter, but people will go and do the stairs. But yeah. And even in the day, like there's some day shifts when it's so nice out in the summer or in the spring where I do like to get outside and just walk down by the water because mm-hmm. it kind of lets you de-stress. It gives you some fresh air. It's nice. It's better than sitting inside the hospital on your breaks and just... Yeah. You've been there for, again, like you said, like collectively, it turns out to be like a 14-hour shift, essentially.
Yeah, no,
so
it is.
So it's good. I always feel better when I do get outside after a shift or during.
You can lose track of reality when you're on your shift and not even, depending on the floor you work on between the two ICUs, some of them have no windows. So you have no clue what's going on outside. It could be sunny, it could be snowing, it could be raining, it could be beautiful. Yeah. Like you have no idea. So especially in the summertime, we, as a group, we tend to say we'll go down by the water and have our lunch and go get some sun, and the feeling you get after just from being out there for even 20 minutes is
being human, you mean?
Human, yeah. Seeing what people are doing on their days off, it's nice. It just rejuvenates you to be out there. So small little things,
yeah, tiny little,
and we definitely lean on each other to support each other in doing those little things.
Yeah, I remember I cannot say this enough that I could not have done what I did in terms of like my physical training if it wasn't for my colleagues mm-hmm. Pushing me. Like I could not have done, because even when I was feeling down, I was like, oh my gosh, such low energy and all my systems, my Nike ads failed to motivate me, and my music failed to motivate me. It was them going, no, you need to do your program. Come on, you got to do this. This is important.
Absolutely.
And I could not have done that. Without that, those incredible humans that I feel so privileged to be working with. And that's so important, having that kind of support system around mm-hmm. you.
Absolutely. Well, we consider each other family, really.
Yeah, exactly.
We most of the time tend to see our coworkers more than our own family at times.
It's,
and especially depending on, like, if you work the continental schedule, you definitely see your coworkers more often than you see your own family.
I know. We used to call each other work partners. This is my
work
partner.
No, absolutely.
This week is my longer week, so mm-hmm. you do Monday, Tuesday. You're at the hospital for the 12 hours, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then you work the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you're there for 5 days out of this week. Mm-hmm. And then the second week is the shorter week. And then every 13 weeks, you have a whole week off, which is nice. But yeah, like I feel like I'm living there this week. Mm-hmm. And it's family day weekend. Like we make sacrifices. Like a lot of holidays, we end up staying at the hospital, which is fair. But like me and Katie have it pretty good because we can get time off we need. Like we're both actually taking off on trips in the next 2 weeks, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. I find that when you do have something like that to look forward to, like right now, I'm looking forward to the trip I'm going on, plus her bachelorette and her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have something to look forward to, getting through the shifts, it gets easier.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to have those small little things to look forward
to. Yeah, and not everybody has that. That's the thing. Like,
no,
not everybody
absolutely.
Has that kind of privilege to be able to do that. And that's actually, that's something that would be great to be able to talk about
mm-hmm.
because it's a different thing when it's just us, right?
You,
me as a person, and I'm just looking after my my mm-hmm. well-being, and I have the economics to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have single mothers, for example, with income that's barely sustaining them, and then they have these awful shifts that are all over the place,
mm-hmm.
then mm-hmm. by the end, you know, there's not much left for that human, like,
absolutely.
Or their humanity.
Plus they have to usually pay for daycare, which I know I have a couple of friends who are shift workers, and that's a big expense for them. And even some of them, like, they'll be at home, but they need the time to sleep. mm-hmm. if they're working nights. So I can't imagine. I think that would be really difficult.
Very difficult. Same, I remember that. Yeah. I remember when my kids, when they were little, mm-hmm. and having to, first of all, when going home, making them breakfast, and then taking them to school, mm-hmm. and then coming back and collapsing. Mm-hmm. And this is before I actually started the scientific
training.
Literally, scientific research and training into what exactly all these things were doing. Bright sunlight, walking my kids to school in full blazing sunlight.
Yeah. It gives you a second wind. They weren't ready to go to bed, I'm sure.
That's right. Cortisol is up. And there you go. There's their quality of sleep out the window. And you don't even know that's what's happening, right?
Yeah.
And then, like what, 6 hours? 6 hours before, or 5 to 6 hours before they're coming home, mm-hmm. and picking them up and making sure they have everything that they need. Yeah. And then maybe you have a half an hour window to yourself, maybe, and that's where you spend it in the bathroom because you're just
showering, pretending you're
showering. Yeah. You're pretending because you're just like, okay, I just need this like me window and me time.
Yeah,
and that's, I think, and that's with me having a lot of support around me. But mm-hmm. I know my colleagues who have gone through this, and I've seen them go through this, and I think like, I cannot say how incredible women can be, seriously,
having
to like do these things on their own as single parents and being like excellent parents. Mm-hmm. And then finally now, you know, as their children are growing up, we're having these conversations where like, oh, finally, like I can really start thinking about little bits about me, like what I want to do. And mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a very interesting point. So talking about like social, social rhythms and like, you know, which are not conducive to shift workers at all, because mm-hmm. the society is still running from 9 to 5 and 8 to 4, mm-hmm. and all our appointments and our children's appointments and all of that is actually during those hours, mm-hmm. When some of us are actually needing to be sleeping or just socializing, mm-hmm. with
Sleep definitely is the first thing to be sacrificed in order to live in this current society, to mm-hmm. make appointments, to have a social life with your friends that aren't on shift or don't work shift work,
to travel
all of the things that you have to consider. Sleep is definitely the first thing to go, and sometimes you kick yourself for it, but then you're not living your life if you are skipping all of these events to sleep, right?
If you're human, what makes you human is actually being, I mean, that's, it's being chipped at, mm-hmm. then you have to think about life, like what is the point? And living in this society, mm-hmm. living in Canada in this particular point in time, and you're talking about, you know, we throw words like well-being, just like that, mm-hmm. you know, tossing it like candy here. Yeah. Well-being people, here's some videos. Watch how to meditate and take some deep breaths in and go for a walk and, you know, go exercise, eat well. And then, like, when I started looking at the time that each of these things take, mm-hmm. and you start looking at the real values of these things, and you're just like, wow, how are we supposed to make this reality work, mm-hmm. when these things are just being thrown at and saying, oh, here, individual, mm-hmm. please be responsible for your well-being, even though all systems are aligned against you.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
So what do you guys do in terms of socializing?
Well, so Lisa and I are relatively opposite on the social scheme in some senses. I reserve a lot of my social gatherings for my 5 days off. I'm a grandma by some senses in that I do still prefer my downtime, my peace and quiet, and my own rhythm on my 4 shifts where I'm working. Mm-hmm. 5 days off is a free-for-all. I do a lot and seem to classically do most of my socializing on my first day off, where I'm most sleep deprived. So I'm getting off of my 4 shifts. My first day off, I'll sleep for 3.5-4 hours. I get up, I go to the gym because that's the first thing I have to do, or mm-hmm. I feel unwell if I don't go. Then I come home, clean the house because it hasn't been cleaned in 4 days because I haven't had any interest in doing it. start the laundry that hasn't been done in 4 days.
Oh my gosh, we haven't touched any part of that conversation.
And then I've got to eat somewhere in there, and then all my plans start. Those are the nights that we have late nights. We've got game nights. We're getting together with all our friends. We're having drinks until midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Got to remind myself, I've only had 3.5 hours sleep in the last 36 hours, but I still make it happen. And then you get up the next day, as we mentioned on our previous podcast, my actual first real day off, I'm up first thing in the morning to pretend I'm living a Monday to Friday schedule, 9 to 5, where I blend in with society, essentially. Lisa, however, has a totally different
outlook.
Well,
Lisa's outlook. Also on days as well.
Yes. But so I have always been very social, very, very social. So I have no problem with going after a day shift. And like last night I was out till like 11:30.
Yeah.
So my group of friends from the hospital is all shift workers, but my other, like my friends that I've grown up with my whole entire life, I am the only shift worker. So I have to work around the 9 to 5 schedules. So that means weekends, and that means traveling. So I end up spending most of my time either in Ottawa or Toronto, or we're on numerous trips out of the country or kind of all over. But like I said, like before, during the week, I was usually playing sporting after work, and then we'd go for a drink, and then that would be it, and then I'd go to bed. And then I don't even know how to start with my social life. I have a crazy social life.
I can't keep up with Lisa's life.
Like, I have 6 weddings this year I have to attend.
Wonderful.
So yep. The shift work, I was going to say this before, is shift work is a pro on itself because you can usually work around getting your shifts off, getting the time off. And like I said, like, my schedule is insane. Like, I'm starting, yesterday I started 1 of 12 days in a row. Like, cool. I have no days off.
Oh my gosh.
And some of those days are short till 3, but some of them are like this weekend, I'm there the whole day till 7. And that's what you got to do in order to get the time off you need, because after that, I'm off for, I think it's 9 days to go on a trip. And like I said, with the schedule that I work on, you get every 13 weeks, you have a whole week off. So I usually plan a big trip around that. And if you switch your shifts or take vacation on the week that you only work twice, and it could be a day or a night, then you end up having all that time off. So shift work is great for that. I had a situation last week where I had to decide if I wanted to take full time at my other job, which would be Monday to Friday. And I just said to myself, I don't think I can do it. Like, I've done this for so long. And like you said, appointments and stuff, it's really nice having days off in the week. Like yesterday, I got so many things done on a Wednesday because you have the day off. You can go to all these things that you need to get done in a day. Like, it's silly, but there's some people, a lot of my friends will have to take days off if they need to go to the doctor, to the dentist, if they can't get in late places. Silly things like going to Service Ontario. Like, as shift workers, we can do that. Like, we know when our next day off during the week is. So I think that I made the right decision by sticking with what I know right now. And like I said, I do still work some night shifts. Because I do a lot of shift swaps on our floor. And with our floor being as many nurses as there is, like, one of the ICUs is about 300 staff, and the other I'd say is probably about
100.
So you can usually always find someone to work for you or switch your shift. Whereas other people on other floors, that's their shifts and they can't get rid of them kind of thing.
And that's, I think also, that would be so interesting in terms of like being able to have some form of flexibility when especially it comes to shift work. And I think the way like it works for me right now, which I, did job share after realizing that I cannot maintain my physical well-being in terms of exercise and the regulated diet and the shift schedule I had, that's just not compatible at all to my well-being. I went on a job share with a colleague of mine. And doing the job share actually improved significantly because I am also started full-on research as well and the outreach programs and all of that stuff that I really wanted to be to participate in, which are during, you know, 9 to 5, 8 to 4 business hours sort of thing, or we call them Henry Ford hours. and it's very interesting that all things that make you human, you have to work so much harder at it if it is like you know, you are on 12-hour shifts. It's so much harder to fit those things into your life. And I mean, like, 40-hour work week is really ridiculous notion. It's based upon assembly line work that was just as the industry was coming into being, and we're still at it. Mm-hmm. And even knowing that this is not something that is actually conducive to human well-being, physical or mental, that the cost of healthcare is just going to go up and up. We're knowing all of those things, we're still continuing mm-hmm. to just go for it for some reason, that 40-hour mm-hmm. 40-hour work week window. I mm-hmm. fail to understand how we...
It's true. Yeah. And we have some friends, like, I'm a wild card because I work so much, but then I'll take time off, whereas we have a few people on our floor that they'll work, like, one shift a week, and they're fine with that. Mm-hmm. And that's okay with them. And
each to their own.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And the nice thing with shift work is there's always the opportunity to pick up shifts mm-hmm. or to give your shift to someone else who might want the shift. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so that's, I think that's the pro to it. Mm-hmm. The con is, like, exactly what you're saying. Like, we're working sometimes 40-hour work weeks. We don't want to be at the hospital anymore. Like, you know, you need some time off. I find the hospital's not very great at acknowledging sometimes, like, you need a mental health day off.
Oh, yeah. So, it's not just the hospital. Exactly. I think it's our society.
It's
not, like, looking at it, the importance of, like, mental health. Because mental health is something, it continues to be, in a way, a taboo subject.
Absolutely.
Because it's not something we are looking at. And hospital, it's a fairly intense environment. Like, mm-hmm. we look at our patient population, like,
they're
looking
well.
At yours and looking at ours now, like, in terms of, like, what's coming our way, mm-hmm. it's very interesting how the patient population itself has changed, that our patients are more and more complex. It's not just, like, walk off the street, normal human being, and we're checking their sleep and everything's fine. It's such complex, comorbid conditions, and you have to, and it's really important as a healthcare worker, the reason I'm in this profession mm-hmm. is to acknowledge the humanity of these people that are coming in. And you cannot do that without giving that emotional support to mm-hmm. them. You cannot, that's impossible. You cannot just be, oh, this is the reason you're here. We're going to do this. You have to take everything into account. And that's a lot mm-hmm. to be giving as well. And that's not something that's quantifiable. So we're not taking that really into account, how much, like, emotional support and dedication that we are actually providing for our patients, because that's the reason we are doing what we're doing in the first place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to, you know, coming to your point, Lisa, that mental health day.
Yes.
Because you're, as human being, you only have limited capacity in terms of resources. You also mm-hmm. require to rebuild on those, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like something that continues to fill the bucket. I don't think I have the right analogy for this. I've had it in my head, but it's gone now.
Oh, you have to have ways to figure out how to recoup mm-hmm. on your own. And for me, physical fitness was the thing that rebuilt my mind or cleared my mind so that I could start fresh again.
But for some people,
it's very different. Exercise isn't their go-to. They might find that more stressful.
Well, also you have to see where you are with your physical level too, right? It's mm-hmm. exercise is a difficult thing, because our society had incorporated this from the very beginning in terms of elementary schools, and it wasn't such a hard thing, mm-hmm. then perhaps we wouldn't be facing the epidemic in terms of chronic diseases or mental health mm-hmm. Disorders that are coming
now.
Our way. So I think it's exercise is a difficult thing. That level of self-regulation is not an easy mm-mm. It's not an easy process. It requires awareness. It requires action. It requires like emotional regulation and motivation. Mm-hmm. Like, if you start thinking about those things, that's a difficult concept to be, you know, like mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. just on a singular human being, again, without having the infrastructure or the support system to elevate them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, I think exercise is always a go-to. Mm-hmm. But then I also have to see where my stress level is at. Like, if it's really super high, I don't want to be doing high intensity, because that's just going to increase it further. For that, I have to switch and go, no, because I did that. I would go, oh, I'm really stressed. I'm going to even push myself further. And that's actually...
And then you feel worse.
It does. Yeah. Because it just further elevates your cortisol. Oh, yes, I did get hurt. Oh, yeah. It takes a while, like, in terms of injury recovery,
yeah.
too,
yeah.
from that. And those are not things, unless you are a full-time athlete. Even if you're a full-time athlete, you're more prone to injury. Full-time mm-hmm. athletes are more prone to injury. But that's not something... as a society, that's part of our collective consciousness
yeah,
yet either. True. So people have different ways of coping because this is not something that is talked about. This is not something we are openly discussing. Again, here, we are doing that right here, right now.
yeah.
But this has not been...
As a society as a
as
whole
a society
is not
as
good
a whole,
about
and
it.
We have... and I think that that creates issues when we're not talking about it. And not being open about it, because how else are we supposed to, how are we supposed to find solutions mm-hmm. to these very complex problems if we're not bringing them out?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you guys are off to trips.
We
both
are.
Of you.
Yep.
Yes.
May I ask where you're going?
So I'm going to St. Martin.
Yes.
On the 24th. I have a girlfriend that actually is a teacher out there. Mm-hmm.
You're gonna get some vitamin D, like serious
yes,
dose of vitamin
exactly.
D.
Exactly, and that's the thing too. When you work a bunch of shifts in a row, it's kind of nice. You know, it's the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, and in winter, like you know, the
there
Canadian
will literally
winter.
Be light at the end of
yeah.
the tunnel.
Yeah, literally the light at
yeah.
the, and warmth at the end of the
yeah.
end of the tunnel. Yeah, yeah. And
I have family. My fiance's family owns property down in Florida, mm-hmm. and the grandparents have been snowbirds for the last 20 years, and so now the parents are renting out property in the same community, mm-hmm. and so we're going down as a whole family to spend almost 2 weeks there, and. It's just total relaxation and nothing else. There's no stress. It's a totally different lifestyle. I play bocce ball. I go to tennis. I go to swimming with grandma. We play board games at nighttime, bingo. We go to the local VFW and have wings and a drink on Monday nights. And then we dance with the seniors in the community.
Amazing.
Like, it's so relaxing. I every time I come back from Florida, I'm like, gosh, why don't I just move there and do this full time? Like, it just, it's so different than the reality that we live here mm-hmm. and how our society is so go, 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 go. You almost forget to take that step back. And so when you go on these little vacations, they are that step back that mm-hmm. you're looking for in life.
Well, the Nordic system is very different from our system. I think we really yeah. need to take a page from how they live their life and how...
Absolutely.
Yeah. And perhaps we can, like, alter the way, like, we live here. And I think it's really so important, again, to come to the thing about self-care, mm-hmm. to give yourself that window of time. And even though we have all limited time in our very, very busy lives, but to be able to have that moment to ourselves, and whether we are able to nap or mm-hmm. lock ourselves in the bathroom for some meditation or to be able to exercise. But we're hoping that this is something we can bring to all of our fellow shift workers, whether
Absolutely.
Day workers or night workers, just workers, period.
Hang in there.
Hang in there. Yeah. And we'll have more conversations and hopefully, you know, be able to make few and small changes.
Absolutely.
I'm so happy to have you guys here. Lisa, mm-hmm. welcome. I'm hoping that you will come back and to join us for another episode for another conversation.
Thank
that
you for having
great.
Me.
Yeah, and Katie, I'm delighted to see you again.
Thank you again. Yeah, always yeah. a pleasure.
Yes, so please come back.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Ruhi Sleep, Sleep in Society podcast, available on ruhisleep.ca. Don't forget to follow us on social media @ruhisleep on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for listening.